This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So, I'm trying to come up with something that you have not been asked, right. Because I would imagine, what's it like for you to be doing so much press in the last, like, few weeks? Because you're typically, or have done, a lot of independent movies.
Yeah.
And now you're stepping up into, you know, like, huge Hollywood franchises.
Sure.
So what's it like for you sort of talking about things in such detail, or, you know what I mean, like the promotional process?
You know, it's kind of just, it's like, it's part of the job, you know? It's not what I envision my job to be, but it certainly is, or becomes a part of your job. You have to promote the movie that you made, you know? It's weird. It makes me feel self-conscious to constantly talk about myself and whatnot. But it's nice when you have two movies you're proud of. You know, it's better than talking about movies that you dislike, you know, and have to promote. So, you know, so it's all right overall. You know, it is a lot of talking, and it is a lot of projecting opinions and you know, what have you, and creating whatever kind of... I guess it's bizarre because everything sort of translates to your public image or to construction of what people or who people see you as, which is bizarre. I'd prefer that people only saw the work and ignored, you know.
Well, you haven't been what I call a paparazzi project yet,
where
people are stalking you or invading your privacy.
Yeah.
And yet you're stepping into these franchises. Are you a little bit, like, aware of what that kind of, what happens when you start stepping into these big franchises?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I think, you know, I don't really know. Like you said, I've never been part of it, but, I mean, I think sometimes people put themselves out there, you know, like, depending on, you know, certain people... A lot of that is their whole career is like being photographed, you know. I think there are a lot of actors that, you know, photographers take pictures of actors. Like a guy like Brad Pitt, who I think is a very talented actor, gets pictures of him taken all the time because he happens to have this celebrity side to him. And yet, I personally think he's a very talented actor, you know. And that is the most important thing about him, at least for me.
Well, he's one of the rare people that I think. You know, he's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah,
and he just happens to be super famous.
Exactly.
You know?
And but I think a lot of actors kind of avoid that. I mean, they avoid... we live in a more obsessed culture than there was, like, 30 years ago, you know? But a guy like Robert De Niro, I don't think got followed around by the paparazzi everywhere, but he's Robert De Niro, you know?
I wonder what... I mean, I think there were paparazzi back. It's interesting how our conversation has shifted into something completely.
Yeah.
But I think that back then... It just wasn't as... I think there were the tabloids and the people going after, but it's become an industry now.
Right, that's exactly what I mean. I mean, I'm sure it's been around. I mean, you know, Fellini introduced it in La Dolce Vita, you know?
Totally.
But there's a definite and greater obsession with celebrity now, and also there used to be an idea of glamour and celebrity as in, you know, you'd have Hollywood premieres, you have guys like Cary Grant, you know? But the idea wasn't to invade their privacy to find out dirty things about them. I mean, a guy, you know, JFK could sleep around with half the town and that didn't bother anyone, you know? Bill Clinton gets a BJ and gets, you know...
Totally.
Exactly. You know, so that's our culture. It's a culture of obsessive voyeurism and exhibitionism and I think that's why that happens so much more now. I feel like a guy like Brad Pitt 40 years ago could have just been Brad Pitt and they would have been happy to photograph him at premieres and see him at premieres and maybe a party having a cocktail or two and that would have been it, you know. But at this point, it's, you know, they're photographing the guy playing with his kids in his backyard or whatever, you know. And it's... especially with the idea of the internet, everything gets out there. So people, if there's a desire for that info, it'll be put out there, you know? And I think that's a large part of it as well.
Well, you mentioned in the roundtable room how you've not really heard of Twitter, but
right.
Yet so many of your peers and filmmakers and everybody are on this thing.
Yeah.
Jon Favreau on the set of Iron Man 2
right.
is Twittering or tweeting, you know, Scarlett Johansson just showed up and
right.
you've never heard a crew get so quiet.
Right.
You know, like instant info all around.
Right.
So you can't... Do you ever see yourself being that... Sort of putting yourself out there that much?
No, I mean, I the extent to which I'd like to put myself out there is, I don't mind making little weird little YouTube videos of, but like ones that I'm not in, you know, just like things that I'm shooting and directing briefly, you know, and putting out there because I want maybe people to see what my vision of this world is. But they're not going to be like, "Hey, I'm Anton Yelchin," like, you know.
Right, no, totally.
They're just going to be like weird videos. Putting music out there that I make with my friends, you know, that is something I want to get out there just as part of the creative process. But beyond that, no, I you know, I'm not going to be twittering, "Hey guys, I'm taking a shit right now," you know.
Like, it always comes back to that. Everyone, it's funny. Okay, well, let me jump into actually moving from the celebrity culture into you're in two huge franchises that happen to come out within 2 weeks of each other.
Yeah.
Both of which I would imagine make you sign a multi-picture deal because they're not going to jeopardize. You know, they don't want to have to deal with contracts. They want to have people figured out. How much hesitation for you was there signing on to two franchises that could possibly film, you know, back to back for the next foreseeable future?
It was, I mean, when I signed on to Star Trek, there was no Terminator, you know, so it was kind of like, yeah, sure, I'll do this. I mean, it sounds great, you know, hell yeah, I'll do it, you know. And, you know, I don't think about, like, it is something you have to take, a business consideration you have to take in because there might not be room to make the movies, you know, other movies, you know. But other than that, I was kind of like, you know, we'll be lucky if we make more movies, so let's just make this one and hope it turns out great, you know. And then suddenly Terminator came up, and at the same time, at that time, they were going to be making a Justice League, and that came up. And I was like, wow, there's three now, shit.
Right.
You know, so Justice League ended up falling apart, whatever, never happened. But I signed on Terminator, and the people that I work with were saying, you know, what you're signing up to is exactly what you said. You could potentially be doing these back-to-back. And there wasn't going to be a way that I was going to pass on a movie like Terminator, you know? It was like, I was obsessed with this character since a young age, you know? And it was, it would be an honor for me to be a part of it. And I'm lucky, though, that it's such a fascinating character, because I think if it was a different character, I'd have much more hesitation, you know? Because I don't mind seeing where Kyle Reese goes for the next couple of films. I don't mind working through the paranoia and the anger and the vulnerability that I started to work through in this picture. And if we're lucky, you know, knock on wood, a couple more pictures. Because it will be an interesting process to carry that character and continually work with him. Almost like, I guess, theater actors do on a play where they can find kind of... I wonder if a theater actor starts off with kind of a construct of a character at the beginning, and they've learned more about the character by the end, you know,
Totally.
You know, so it's something that would be really interesting. And with Chekhov, it's the same thing. I love these characters, so I do look forward to, you know, if we're lucky, coming back and being able to work with them again and see what else I can pull out of them. So it's almost like there will be the same characters, but I'll see what I can do to add another layer to them.
So how does it feel for you when you... the thing I found, I've done a lot of set visits recently, and I am constantly amazed at the hours that everyone has to put in when making a movie.
Yeah.
And no matter how many times it's said, I don't think people who watch movies truly understand the amount of time and energy everyone has to put in.
Yeah.
And so how does it feel for you, Star Trek, getting crazy reviews? I mean, people are falling over themselves in love with this film. Yeah. Last night, everyone seemed to really, really dig Terminator.
Right.
So, for you as an actor, how rewarding is it, after putting in so much time and energy, to hear this positive response?
I mean, it's obviously, you know, it's great, you know. I try, though... The flip side of that positive response is the potential for negative response, you know? And if you pay too much attention to the positive response, you're going to have to pay a lot of attention to the negative response. So, it's like... The most rewarding thing for me is when I sit in the movie theater and I see the movie for the first time and I go, shit, I like that movie, you know? And that's how I felt watching Star Trek. I loved it, and I watched Terminator last week, and I really, really liked it as well. I really enjoyed it, and I think they're two totally different movies. You know, Star Trek, you come out loving it because it's a joyous film, you know? You come out of Terminator and there's this exciting kind of heaviness that you have to deal with, you know, because it's a Terminator film. And I love that too. So that is the most rewarding thing. Also, to go on Rotten Tomatoes and see that out of 118 reviews of Star Trek, there's 110 positive ones
yeah.
is pretty incredible, and I'm very proud, you know, and, totally. And it's pretty great, you know. So,
I noticed the same thing yesterday.
yeah, it's insane. I mean, I was like, Jesus, you know, it's 90 some positive.
Totally.
You know? So it's of course it's rewarding. I mean, and the hours are crazy. I mean, it's so much hard work. I've talked to my friends about this a lot. They just don't really get it. Like, it's really hard work. I mean, working Star Trek, we had 20-hour day, like it's a couple 20-hour days. Like a 20-hour day is insane. Like, I don't think people get, you know, 9 to 5 is the average work day. 20 hours is insane. You know? So it's more than twice, you know, the average work day. And you know, people think you just, there's craft service and catering, and it's nicer than standing on your feet all day or, you know, flipping burgers or whatever. But it's tedious because it's emotionally compromising for everyone, for the grips, you know. The grips are getting pissed off because they're tired of standing around for 20 hours and watching the same scene and being, it's a hard job. It's a lot of work to put that on screen, you know.
And that's why when it gets right, when so many people love something.
Yeah, it's very rewarding, yeah.
Absolutely. I know I got to wrap up with you, but.
Actually, we're 2 minutes over now, so I keep going.
Real fast.
Yeah.
What else are you working on right now or getting ready to work on?
Talking to Bill Macy about a film that he's doing. That's pretty much it. You know, trying to find another interesting character to play.
Cool. Congratulations. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
Nice to see you, sir.
Nice to see you.